League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Welcome to episode number 73 of the LSR Podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, Dustin Galker, Adam Candy. You can find them on Twitter, and you should, at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y, at Dustin Galker. If you have some reason in this world that you want to follow me, at Matt Brown, M2. We're on Apple, Spotify, yeah.
Matt, hold on. I need to stop you right there. Every week you say it, but then you never give a reason.
No,
I think
no,
you
no.
Need
I'm
to
saying
give
if they hate themselves
right here and now, why they should follow.
Then
you.
They should follow me. I don't see any reason to follow me.
No. I understand that, but what's the flip side?
You know what? I will typically sometimes talk negatively about sports teams. So wait. No, that's not a good reason to follow me either. So yeah, no.
That really separates you
no.
on Twitter.
Really nothing. I don't bring anything to the table, actually. So, you know, I know you did your best and I appreciate that. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. So go in, subscribe, rate, and review. We do appreciate that as well. At LSP Report is the main account. As you probably well know, we're going to hit on Five Dimes, but we're also going to talk about some numbers. We like numbers. We're going to talk about some poker stuff that's going on in the world out there, maybe even another licensee over in Tennessee. But let's go ahead and talk some Five Dimes here. I mean, this is the last 3 weeks has been kind of our lead story here, because the story does continue to keep changing. And Adam, we were wondering, okay, is this going to be their, are they really just going to be like a B2B? Is this what they're going to be the path to actually trying to operate? And that does not seem to be the case.
No, it certainly does not. Our Brad Allen had the opportunity to speak with Laura Varela, the widow of the former Five Dimes owner, and she seems intent on being able to get Five Dimes in the U.S. through state regulation in New Jersey. Not only are they attempting that, they will attempt to hire a CEO in the United States as well. So this appears to be a full steam ahead push right now for Five Dimes in terms of getting licensed in New Jersey. Now, exactly how that would work, we still don't know. There are a lot of moving pieces to get to that point, but some very strong quotes from Five Dimes attorney Jeff Ifra, who basically said, the AGA tried, they're not doing anything. We need to give offshores a shot and bring them into the legal market. Whether or not we agree with that statement, it certainly seems like this is the beginning of a discussion that we're going to be having for a while, not just with Five Dimes, but potentially with other operators as well.
Yeah, Dustin, I mean, I guess I look at this from the aspect, and we always talk about the consumer, and, you know, look, we agree that competition is better and it's better for the consumer. But I think you can also look at a market like New Jersey, or even what's about to happen, you know, what is happening in Colorado, and you look and like, there's a lot of different options out there. I mean, currently now some of them use the same back end, and so you're actually getting the same lines and whatever. But I mean, there's a decent amount of options out there, and there are still a couple of players who really haven't full court pressed into expansion into other states and things like that as well. So, I mean, it seems so weird when all I've done is sit here and say the competition is good and it's better for the consumer, but how many more do we need? I mean, like, one, there's a limited amount of licenses in some states, so it's not like we can just have as many as want to come. And then on top of that, I mean, like, eventually you just start kind of like, I don't know, wasting money because you're just not going to get any market share.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot going on here with the competition aspect of this. Yes. Like in New Jersey, there are still available licenses. There are not in other states, or there are a limited number or a lot left in some other states. So, and then we have, as we talk about ad nauseum on here, there are monopolies where you have no path. So like, it's not like Five Dimes can just like snap its fingers and suddenly we're in a bunch of states, even if it gets New Jersey regulation, because it needs that deal on top of getting licensed in the state. So there's a lot going on. I just, larger picture, I still reject this idea that a bunch of, like, all the offshore sites are suddenly going to be screaming to go legit. Let's again think of what Five Dimes did. They went cold turkey. No more betting from the U.S. Again, I mean, we can argue over that, I guess, because they sent customers to a skin that's identical and all of that. But, you know, it's a lot to ask to think like Bovada is just going to stop serving all of the U.S., right? That's a lot of money they're giving up just on the off chance that they can start getting regulated. Sure, if Five Dimes does it, maybe there's a path. But there's a lot of space between where we sit right now and like all of the offshore sports books and online casinos. Again, we always forget about that. Online casinos still only legal really in three states. Delaware as well runs a monopoly there. So there is a lot going on that's like, okay, yes, you want to get into the U.S. market. It's not nearly as big of a market as you can serve when you're serving California and Texas and all of that. So, I don't know. When I unpack it all, I still just don't see this as some great path for offshore sites to get into the U.S.
You know, Adam, one of the things that we hear from a lot of people, and I think that again, it's we need to take a step back and look at this from the big picture here. And they say, well, these guys, they offer better prices and they offer better this and they do this better and this, that, and the other and whatever. Well, you know, when your sole focus is one thing, then I can certainly understand that. When you don't have ancillary costs that come along with all the other things, I can certainly understand why you can offer less VIG or this, better product that. But if you talk about regulation in the United States and coming in and being legal in the United States, it is a completely different animal of how you've done business for the last couple of decades. In several decades, you are now having to go in full court press customer acquisition mode, because let me tell you, people within the bubble know who BetChris is. People who are just coming into sports betting, who might have opened up a DraftKings account because they saw a commercial or saw a billboard or something, have no clue at all. Like the casual bettor does not know who these big behemoth offshore sites are, or even the European giants that are coming over and trying to get in the space here as well. So it's just, you know, to think that, oh yeah, you know, let's get Five Dimes in here. They obviously, you know, they've got great lines. They do this better. They have better this. Well, you know, a lot of those resources are now going to have to be go towards marketing, customer acquisition, licensing fees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think it's a little bit simplistic to just think like, oh yeah, man, hey, they're gonna come in and automatically become market leaders because they do it better right now.
Oh, I think the concept of them becoming market leaders is based almost entirely on the database they've built up, without saying how much crossover is there going to be within that database to what's in the legal market right now, right? I mean, you assume that they've built up this enormous market share of the U.S. market prior to it going legal, and that they're going to hold all of that, and that some of that market hasn't already bled into the legal market. Some of it is bigger players, right? And that's who we hear from. We hear from the ones with the loudest voices who have been yelling about how offshore is a better product. And you just talked about better VIG and the ability to offer better pricing. Well, there's a reason for that. You haven't had to pay any of these costs for the course of 20 plus years. You haven't had to pay any of them. And now when you talk about getting into the U.S. market, all the costs you just mentioned, plus the scrutiny of regulators, right? It was not that long ago that we were talking about a halftime bet that was just unilaterally canceled by an offshore operator that would never fly in the U.S. market. So if you're someone who's out there saying, well, yeah, of course, you need to bring the offshore in for the purpose of, you know, of giving them the opportunity to compete in the market, I would counter and say, why from both sides? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? What are you accomplishing by doing that? I mean, you talk about the cost associated with it, Matt. If I could offer you a better hamburger that never had to be inspected by the FDA, I could probably do it for cheaper. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have to pay my labor a competitive cost and cover them with healthcare, I absolutely could get that product to you at a lower price. So look, I realize I've bounced around a little bit here in talking about it, but that's because there are so many issues here that don't make sense, that don't add up, that, you know, I think we're a long way away from this making sense on either side.
You know, Dustin, one of the things that we've talked about on, you know, when you kind of look at all this stuff is whether they would be able to maintain the same business practices anyway, if they were able to be legalized here. I mean, you talk about these offering better lines and offering bigger markets and offering, you know, taking bigger wagers and all these things like that. But again, that is sans the $10 million licensing fee in Pennsylvania, the $1 million licensing fee in these other states, the marketing fees that go along with it. Also, there's that pesky little tax that's still out there that comes off the top as well. That is, again, it just bleeds and bleeds and bleeds and bleeds. And we know that sports betting runs on a pretty slim margin. I mean, it is not the cash cow that I think a lot of people on the outside just look at some of these numbers and realize, like, we know because we study what the casinos actually do. And like, we understand what the casino business actually brings in. It is literally a complementary product to most of the casinos out there. It is not a primary source of income. That's why you're seeing even the bigger sportsbook brands adding casino games and adding slot machines and adding things like that to their product, because that is where the true money is in all of this. And so again, like, yeah, we keep saying, like, I just don't think they would be able to operate business the same way under what we have in place here in the United States.
Yeah, again, it seems like we're beating a dead horse, but it keeps worth saying, like, you're not paying taxes. We have the federal excise tax. You're telling me, like, everybody wants to come in and pay 0.25% of their handle to the U.S. government just for the chance to start doing it across the market. So it's, I don't know. It's wild to me that we're talking about this. And again, I think Five Dimes was still in a weird position because this is not what everybody else would even try to do. That, you know, we have the feds talking with the widow of the old owner, and she, you know, the feds claim she was, you know, apart from the operation and is just using the assets. Okay, great. Like, but who else is, like, what else are we going to do? Are we going to just keep, is everybody else just going to, like, kind of sell their operation? And I mean, the whole thing, I just don't see how it works logistically either for anyone else. That's the part. Adam?
You know, to add to that, Dustin, I think we're losing in the idea of Five Dimes becoming regulated part of what actually happened here. We're losing the part of the storyline that a federal investigation of Five Dimes began in 2016 into illegal gambling activity and wire fraud and money laundering, right? This has all been sold to us as, well, now everything's clear, so we can get into the U.S. market because we're not going to be prosecuted for any of these charges. That also means that we don't know what the feds are doing with relation to any other offshore book. And that's not for me to say that I'm not suggesting there are other investigations out there. We just don't know. And Five Dimes, in order to settle this, was willing to forfeit $47 million. That's not a small amount of money to break news. And the other piece of this is, this is a criminal investigation. This was a criminal investigation over the course of years. That's not to say that some other operator doesn't have worse in their background than what we saw put out there in the Five Dimes situation. So was the federal government ever going to be able to truly charge Five Dimes for the things that happened over that course of time? Who knows? We don't know that, and we'll never know that. But the point of the matter is, it's not just a matter of saying, okay, well, now this is clear and can they get licensed? There are so many other factors involved in any other offshore operator having to deal with the federal government beyond everything that we're talking about here.
The other thing we said, like, the story talks about how, oh, it's not, no thing's been effective against this. I don't know. I mean, yes, this investigation is going, how hard have we really tried? This is not, been, you know, other than the few incidents that we talk about, we're going to get into that a little bit too. But, you know, there are ways to stop this. It takes the will to do it. And, you know, I continue to maintain as online gambling gets bigger, that will continue. We've already seen it with New Jersey regulators trying to put pressure on both offshore people doing content about it, doing actually operating. They've tried that. It should take, you know, we should have, you know, state regulators and the federal government working together to what can we do to stop this? Because you're still hamstringing the legal and regulated market until that all goes on. So I don't know. We'll see. The whole thing makes my brain hurt. For people who are saying, oh yes, every offshore sports book in the world, and again, got to remember they have casino too. This is not, and that's a way, even though they're famous for the sports book, and that's what they, they're selling those people over to table games and slots. And I mean, probably more table games because it's mostly male, but it's just a lot of money you have to give up just for the chance to serve a small sliver of the US market. Now we're still only you can get into maybe a handful or more states for sports betting. Probably not getting into you're not getting into Pennsylvania casino. You maybe can get into Michigan or New Jersey for casino, but you're giving up a lot to go try to compete in a market that's already kind of established and has limited entry points.
And Dustin, just to kind of put a bow on this, I mean, from a federal perspective, I mean, again, I'm not going to try to speculate what's going on behind the scenes or something like that, but again, we're in some weird times right now. There's weird things going on. There's a lot of really pressing issues that are going on. I don't know how much the federal government really cares about this now, but that's not necessarily to say that they won't care, you know, a year from now or 18 months from now or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows what's going to happen given if you have another administration with the DOJ. I mean, we have, you know, the shenanigans with the Wire Act that have gone on with the current administration and DOJ. You know, just want to point out a good piece by Ryan Rodenberg, who's been around this space for a long time, talking about some of the other federal prosecutions of offshore gambling sites. And this has been a change for, you know, this, you know, this looks like it. This is it's either a change or just a one off because it's a different set of circumstances. You know, I don't think that, like, if Tony were still alive, we'd have seen this deal. I don't think any of this would have happened. We'd be seeing. Or at least not an entry into the U.S. market. This would have been, okay, we'll take your money. We can't prosecute you, but I don't know. I just don't think this whole thing would have gone down the same way. But yeah, from the federal perspective, who knows? But it is like, this is low on the priority list. You know, if the feds ever get more involved with gambling, then certainly that would be good for regulated markets. So, but this, just the idea that you have to do this because it's a, you know, that law has been a failure. You have to bring in the offshore sites. I kind of reject that as a premise.
And just to kind of reiterate something we talked about last week as well, like, I've heard some other programs out there that aren't really kind of as plugged in on this side of things as we are, who are saying, like, yeah, you know, I mean, look, hey, we've got Poker Stars now. We've got Party Poker now. I mean, you know, this is, and like, again, there is a pretty major difference in all that. I mean, we're talking about companies changing hands, changing ownership, sometimes multiple times in all of that. And it's not like, oh, okay, the version one of PokerStars got approved and is now operating legally in the United States. That's not what happened. That's not what's going on here. And so it's not really a comparison apples to apples really at all to kind of say, oh yeah, well, I mean, look, we've had it with these guys. So why isn't the same with these guys? Because it is a completely different case. So again, just to kind of drive that home yet again, for the people who aren't, you know, don't know the backstory of some of these other companies and things like that. All right. So let's get our DraftKings time in here. This is what we do here on the podcast each and every week. Has to be some sort of something about DraftKings. And Dustin, we'll start out here with DraftKings and a whole bunch of money, maybe even the letter B in there.
Yeah, buy DKNG, right? That's always the goal. But yeah, they're doing another stock offering. Originally, if at market price, it was going to be about $1 billion. They've offered, they're putting out the stock offering, $52, going to result in $800 million in revenue, not revenue, new money and capital for DraftKings. So even more money for DraftKings to spend and do things with over the next several years as it's growing. It gave us some details of its business, as you know, as we're seeing these public companies, they're kind of leaking a little bit of information early on earnings and before earnings and things like that. Online sports betting handle up 460% over last year. That obviously includes new states that they're serving, but also more than 100% growth in New Jersey. Online casino up 300%. They've obviously opened up in Pennsylvania as well. So these are not apples, oranges to oranges comparisons. Mm-hmm. But DraftKings, as we talked about, I think last week, there's lots more competition. So having more money sitting around that you can deploy to, acquire customers and do whatever you want, and again, pay for all these commercials that we see on the middle of NFL broadcasts, then that's what they're going to continue to do.
And Adam, speaking of that competition, it is Penn that is out there. And Penn, again, we talked about how that stock just, rocket shipped before they even went live with the first iteration of Barstool Sportsbook. Now we do have Barstool Sportsbook live, looking to go live in a couple of other states as well. And so you do have to wonder, maybe if DraftKings, not necessarily worried about looking over their shoulder, but is at least looking over their shoulder a little bit to see if anybody's coming up from behind.
Yeah, I think it would be silly at this point for either of the market leaders, DraftKings or FanDuel, not to be looking behind and seeing who's there. We haven't established much going through the first 24 months of legal sports betting, 24 months plus at this point, time all relative in 2020. But, we see that Barstool has come in with a lot of fanfare and a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. They're going to be formidable competition along with FoxBet and potentially PointsBet and some others, for that early third place. And then who knows beyond that as the market develops. But I don't think that necessarily means that it's a guarantee that Barstool or anybody else is going to be able to make a significant dent. We have to see. Now, what did Penn National go out and do? Another stock sale from their end, an offering at $61 a share where they brought in almost another $1 billion themselves, which I actually find really interesting because one of the primary Barstool talking points has been, we did all this that we've done in our first couple of weeks with no spend. Right? Mm-hmm. Penn National didn't have to spend a dollar. Everything was built in. Well, first of all, Penn National spent $163 million to buy 30%, and they have an option to buy more than 50% within a few years. But second of all, this cash raise is a tacit acknowledgement of the fact that you're going to have to go out there and spend some money in much the same way that DraftKings and FanDuel and others have done. I mean, yes, we know from DraftKings filing that they're burning a couple $100 million a quarter in advertising. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the strategy, right? Get out there early, get out there first, grab people and keep them sticky. Now, Barstool thinks that their audience is plenty sticky in the first place, and they're using more of the model that the Score put out there, that we're going to bring people over from, our more traditional media to where we are now. But I think when you have Penn going out there and raising the same kind of cash that multiple other operators have, that there is some acknowledgement of the fact of like, there is truth in you're going to have to advertise at some point. You're going to have to spend on promos and marketing, yeah, even if you have a built-in user base.
And I'll say, let's dispel this myth that Barstool One is never going to spend on marketing or is spending zero on marketing now. We saw even somebody in our Slack channel posted a picture of there's a thing in a convenience store where you get a free hoagie if you sign up for Barstool Sportsbook app, right? And at who knows how many convenience stores this is. They're buying billboards. They're going to buy commercials. They're going to spend money on all these things. Yes, the initial flow, this is what they counted on, is we can have a bunch of people come in the door quickly. That's not going to continue into perpetuity. You will have to spend money to, one, get more market share, and two, to keep it. As sports betting goes on, it's not going to just be we wave a magic wand and everybody bets at Barstool. That's not how it works.
Yeah, all sports bettors aren't between the age of 21 and 27, which is like their demographic, So it's like, yeah, eventually you have to reach the people who are over 30 years old and definitely the people who are over 40 years old. So, there's going to have to be a lot of that. And Adam, you did mention the Score. And I think probably the Score, looking back on all this, will probably regret the decision for not spending money or whatever, because that made really no penetration whatsoever and hasn't. I mean, they are nearly an afterthought. And it was something that we were, at least when it first got announced, were pretty curious about, because, they do have a big following. They do have that app that has a ton of downloads. It has a ton of daily active users. But we have not seen that translated over to them making a dent in this industry. And I think that there can be a lesson learned there, that at the end of the day, there's a reason why your FanDuels and your DraftKings and your PointsBets and everything of the world are spending the money that they are, and BetMGM comes in and says they're going to spend whatever it takes and all of that because it works. You know, unfortunately, it works, and you do have to kind of go at it that way. Dustin,
yeah, so I think.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Adam.
No, just to finish on the thought with the score, Matt. I mean, I think you saw a couple of approaches that didn't work, right? At least early on, the score decided we've got all these users, we're going to convert them. Well, they haven't converted that many of them, but they will tell you that about 75% of their openings have been conversions. Mm-hmm. So there was some truth to it, just not nearly enough truth to it. And I think the other approach that didn't work was the legacy casino companies thinking, we have names that everybody recognizes. We're going to throw open the doors and not have a great product and not do a lot of marketing, and or at least, you know, customer marketing. And that didn't work either. I mean, it turns out Ad Blitz, along with a little name recognition built up through DFS and email addresses through DFS, has worked out pretty darn well so far. That doesn't mean it'll work in the future, but certainly we've seen what played out early.
And now we've got Jamie Foxx telling us to download the BetMGM app. So that's how far we've
come. I downloaded three times just because I saw that.
I mean, that's how far we've come. Jamie Foxx standing out in front of the fountains at the Bellagio, and then the thing goes off and he's like, download BetMGM. And people are like, damn it, I think I will. You know what? Jamie Foxx just told me to. Yep. And yeah, I'm definitely gonna do that. Dustin, so we talked about the Illinois saga. Everyone that's listening to the podcast knows what's going on there, but we did at least get our first kind of like look into some real numbers that are coming out of there since they had the, you know, open registration.
Yeah, for this is for August. We just got the numbers for August. It's October. I don't know how these reporting is so slow, but we just now got it. So $140 million in handle in Illinois, which is a lot. That's already close to putting it. Could already be seeing Illinois as the third third or fourth biggest market in the U.S. With a very short run up on the online side. So this is a weird month. September is going to be way more indicative of what's going on there, because if you remember, we've been talking about the in-person registration that went away near the tail end of August. I guess the last 10 days you could remotely sign people up. So and then the big one, Bet Rivers, which has a casino there just outside of Chicago, accounted for 80% of the total of the handle in the state. So that's the, you know, they were open for remote registration for a while before it got rescinded, and now it's back. DraftKings, again, opened up for maybe 10 days with remote registration in the state. FanDuel only opened for 3 days. So they both badly trailed, but this is not yet even close to what we're going to see. I'd say BetRivers definitely has an advantage, but September will be the first true month where we see what DraftKings and FanDuel can do against them. They'll have a full month of operation. Obviously, NFL season started, so that will be, you know, they were maybe not doing as much of a push in that state just as it came online, but certainly going for people for the NFL season. And as we talked about on this podcast, DraftKings was doing all sorts of things in Illinois and Chicago to get eyeballs on them. So it'll be really interesting to see. But obviously, top line number, $140 million in handle in Illinois, is a pretty big number already.
Adam, those September numbers, I'm going to go ahead and make the prediction that they are going to be staggering. I think we are going to look at those September numbers coming out of Illinois with the remote registration, with the start of football season, with everything that was going on. And I think we're going to go, wow.
Matt, I couldn't agree more. And I think what's going to happen is those numbers are going to lead to a legislative fix that keeps remote registration forever. That doesn't require the 18-month waiting period. I think legislators aren't going to be able to ignore what's happened. And frankly, the cat is out of the bag at this point. Like, you're not going to get it back in when it comes to the remote registration. DraftKings and FanDuel have the advantage that Rivers and everybody else feared. So, you know, you're pretty much done with trying to monopolize the market in that way. And keep in mind, when we see those September numbers, I agree, they're going to be huge. And you're only going to have five operators in mobile at that point. Right. I mean, what this market can become is still going to be just a drop in September. So it's going to be enormous. And I do think it's going to lead to further action.
Tennessee is knocking on the door of going live. I know it seems like we've been talking about Tennessee forever here on the podcast. And, you know, you could probably go back. You probably go back 50 episodes and we have been talking about Tennessee for that long. But Adam, they are knocking on the door. It looks like we will have Tennessee going live here shortly, or we're starting to get some of these operators licenses out there. And another one got granted this week.
Accurate information. November 1st appears to be the launch date for Tennessee. And you know, that's not a terrible timeline considering where they picked up this licensing process in just the last 2 or 3 months and really got it going. So you've seen the big boys get in there and get their licenses for what's going to be a very interesting online only market. There are some troubling parts, tax rate and some other restrictions in there. But you know, when it comes to this new entrant that just got its license, it's kind of a strange situation. Tennessee Action 24/7 is the operators of it have not been involved in sports betting in the past. They've had other business interests and they seem committed to only operating in Tennessee. So it's definitely going and swimming a bit upstream against the current of what's been happening in sports betting. Not really sure what level of success that will bring when you're operating against the DraftKings and the FanDuels of the world. Maybe the marketing is that, you know, we're Tennessee born and bred and go ahead. That's one we haven't really tried yet in terms of, you know, developing a sports betting presence in the market. But yeah, it does appear that November 1st is the target date. And look, if you get up and running by November 1st, you're still going to capture 2 months of regular season NFL, COVID willing,
right,
and the playoffs as well. So, you know, it's taken a while, but it certainly looks like it's on the right track.
Yeah, that when I saw that come through, that bit of news, I was like, did I miss something? Like, I was like, did somebody register as some other company, even though it's really, and I had to do my own research on that and realize that no, that's a sole entity there.
Yeah, that wasn't like a Borat sort of thing you know, just showed up and it's like, hi, I do sports betting. No, this was a real operator.
Yeah, it's something else. Like you said, I mean, look, we've tried some other aspects, whatever, like give it a whirl. It's seems tough to me for that to get going.
I mean, we've talked, if Maine ever passes that law, we're going to have our own sports book, right? That's true. Going to have the LSR sports book and pay $2,000. Yeah,
we will have the worst app for sure.
To come to the U.S.
Yeah. We will have the worst app for sure. Like our technology is going to be garbage. Like there's no doubt about that. Me and Adam and Dustin do not know how to code very well / at all. So it is going to be terrible. We might only offer like a couple games a day, but like, you know, we'll do what we can. Baby steps, right, guys?
And none of them will be in the U.S. It'll all be Korean baseball.
We'll go after the niche market. That's what we'll be doing. Cricket.
Yep.
Yeah. That's our specialty. It'll be cricket. All right, Dustin, close us out here. We got some stuff over at our sister site, Online Poker Report.
Yeah, a couple interesting items. William Hill recently added online casino in New Jersey. As we know, William Hill has been finally really getting into the game in online sports betting, adds casino here. We'll be adding casino in Michigan as well, presumably, has an access deal there. So it's casino games from Will Hill. And this, again, as we know, Caesars agreed to buy William Hill, and this is all part of it now. So interesting to see how that develops. News at both Online Poker Report and playnj.com. And then a bit of poker news out there for the poker folks who still hang on out there. Michigan Senate has passed an interstate online poker bill, which would allow for online poker to be played across state lines. Right now we have New Jersey, Delaware, and Nevada able to play at a single site, WSOP.com, as you know there. So this is not some huge piece of news, but you and I both get tons of questions, I know, about when's online poker going to be legal across the country. This is another step toward that. The fact that actually passing a law means there must be some interest in doing it. So I would expect to see Michigan joining that compact. Hopefully Pennsylvania does it someday. And then suddenly we have some critical mass, which is what we always talk about poker. You need enough people playing it for it to really make sense. And if we add Michigan and Pennsylvania, then suddenly you have four pretty big states plus a little state. And we have something for online poker that starts getting a little more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I mean, my dream obviously would be for something like that to happen, because right now it's tough to play. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, with, especially considering the time difference, right? So yes, we have a deal with New Jersey, but obviously they're 3 hours ahead of us. And so, you know, like by the time I'm done with work and then you try to go and you go to play, you're not really getting the New Jersey crowd. You know, I mean, it's way into the night and it's way late over there. And so it is real critical to kind of have all these guys, you know, come in and try to do something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that'd be really neat. And like you said, I get questions still, constantly to this day about when this is actually all going to go down and all that. So we will follow that. But again, head over to Online Poker Report, both of those stories over there as well. Guys, I say this every time at the top of the show, but honestly, follow Dustin, follow Adam on Twitter at AdamCandy2E's no Y at Dustin Galker. You're going to get the best information, the best commentary of all the stuff that's going on out there in the industry and at OP Report.
The OPR update. OPR report is OPR, our former boss, Chris Grove.
Yes.
You can follow him too.
Yes,
OPR update.
Oh, y'all switched the Twitter handle on me. It used to be LSP Report. Right, that's what it is. Anyway,
that one still is. Yeah.
No, you've oh, I know God, you've hated I hate that Twitter handle forever, so Matt.
Yeah, but. I know. I really do. If you have, I'm gonna get us a new one. That's like to be my 2021 goal. So I'm gonna get us a new Twitter handle for the site. But yeah, guys, be sure to check out everything over at LSR. Again, we are working around the clock over there to make sure that you know all of the news that's going on in this crazy industry through these crazy times right now, because things are changing by the day with everything. So we will keep you updated on all that. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just $1 every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.